So this is the Credentials Community Group, our first regular meeting in a couple of weeks because we've all been traveling. Our agenda I have posted. Our first agenda item is our IT notes. Anybody can participate in these calls. However, if you've not agreed to the group's IT policy, we cannot consider any substantive contributions. You can join the group at the W3C website. We use IRC to cue speakers during the call and to take minutes. Please type Q+ to add yourself to the queue. If you're not on IRC, please ask to be put on the queue. Be brief so that the rest of the queue gets a chance to chime in. You can always Q+ again. Sam has volunteered to be our scribe today, so I will move her name to the end of the list. Thank you very much for volunteering.
Actually, hold on. Chris, Sam asked for the scribe instructions, and I can't find them. Sam, the only thing that you need to do here is put the person's last name, if you know it, or their IRC nickname, colon, space, and what they said. So, for example, so something like that, right? So the person's name, colon, and then what they said, and that's all you have to do for the whole call. And thanks again for volunteering to scribe.
Thank you.
And then if you're following with a second line of the same person, you can just do dot dot dot, and it will recognize the previous one.
Okay, thank you. I'll do my best. I'll manage this.
Thank you.
Slow down.
Okay, so next on our agenda is introductions and reintroductions. Do we have anybody who is new on the call today? First time caller. Okay. So next is reintroductions. Bob Dolan, are you on? Christian Lundquist? Let's see who is live. Well, Lionel, why don't you reintroduce yourself?
Well, I did a little while back, but so my name is Lionel Wahlberger, and I've been involved in the group for a while under different hats. Lately, I'm focusing on verifiable claims as they relate to location. I represent a startup called Platin.io, which is dedicated to proof of location in a distributed technology. And
what was the name of that again? The name of the platform, sorry?
Platin, P-L-A-T-I-N, six letters. We base our insights on university research. I mentor at the Technion, and we have a professor at ETH Zurich and others. So we're very excited to bring some real muscle to the space and to work within the standards that we've been developing here. We think that distributed identifiers and verifiable claims can support all kinds of personal assertions, such as location. We have lots of details to iron out, like automobiles want to express location, you know, dozens of times a minute or a second, whereas a bank may ask you for a proof of residence once every few years, and it's in the details of the use cases that we really get to work out the kinks. Looking forward to attending TPAC and continuing to coordinate with the group.
Great, thank you. So next agenda item is announcements. We host our announcements online. Last week, let's see, coming up, I guess the two big things are PTAC in just a couple of weeks. A number of us will be going to Lyon for TPAC. Basically, that is the big annual meeting of all of the W3C members. In particular, there is the AC meeting of the kind of voting members of the W3C, and on either side of the AC meeting are various working group meetings and some community group meetings. We are not ourselves, I don't, do we have a, Manu, what is the, do we, are we scheduled as a meeting, or are we,
yes.
You know, okay, so we are scheduled with our own time, and then of course the Verifiable Claims Working Group has a couple of days, and the Jason LD does, and we are visiting other working group meetings to tell them about to tell them about the IDs, which is something that we hope to be able to kind of begin to let people know and understand how they work in anticipation of making a submission by the end of the year to try to make W3C vote on a DID charter. Is that a fair description, Manu?
Yes, I have a couple of things to add to that.
Please.
So we are the Credentials Community Group. Let me jump back. The W3C TPAC schedule is here. On that schedule, the Credentials Community Group is scheduled for 2 hours on Tuesday from 1:30 to 3:30, I believe, which is a prime spot, really good spot. So we should figure out exactly what we're going to be talking about and presenting during that time frame. On Wednesday, there'll be a whole bunch of breakout sessions. We are, this is the big push for decentralized identifiers. This is where we're going to socialize everything. So we're making buttons that people can wear that says, ask me about decentralized identifiers. So everyone going should have a button. And the whole purpose here is to just try and get as many of the membership introduced to the fact that we're going to try and standardize decentralized identifiers at W3C. For the CCG, is also going to be having a joint meeting with the Web Commerce Interest Group on Thursday as well. And then we've got Verifiable Credentials on Thursday and Friday. So basically, it's a pretty, there's something for CCG members to do Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And you do not have to be a W3C member to attend. So if you are a community group member, you can sign up under a community group member. We're having a meeting there, which means that you're welcome to attend Tuesday and Wednesday. And then if you're there, you have to request permission to join the Verifiable Claims Working Group meeting. And then I don't know what the acceptance criteria that there is, but usually if there's room for you, you can kind of sit at an observer position. So anyway, that's kind of, you know, what's going on at TPAC this year. I'm done.
Thank you very much. Our next announcement, for those of you who are not able to make it to Lyon for TPAC, there is an IIW in Mountain View at the Internet Identity Workshop. For more information on it, it is at that URL. There'll be a number of people from the CCG at that event as well. Any other announcements?
Lionel's on the
case. Yeah, Chris. Yeah, I just wanted to stay on TPAC for another moment. So if we could organize offline, maybe I would be interested in having a call with the Digital Bazaar crew or with Chris. I would really like to take some more, since I'm going to be there and I think I was accepted to the verifiable claims meeting. I just really want to do some coordination. So how do we do that? Like, for example, how will I get my button?
I suspect that the first meeting on Tuesday is the best place for that. I can't speak for schedules and such on Monday. I technically plan to be there on Monday, but I also expect that I'm going to be sleeping late on Monday or trying to adjust my time on Monday. So,
why don't I propose this? We'll make a Google Sheet like we do sometimes, and people will just say who's going. We might find still other people going, and maybe we'll be able to coordinate on site, get phone numbers, some kind of group. How's that sound?
So I'm on the queue. I've got some thoughts on this. So I think we really should spend telecon time over the next month to coordinate. Otherwise, it's just going to be chaotic. I think the CCG has multiple things that they're trying to accomplish there, and if we wait until TPAC, it's going to be scattered and all over the place. So, I suggest that we put aside at least 20 minutes per call until TPAC. I mean, it's basically two more calls at that, so that we have a very clear understanding of where the CCG is supposed to be and what the unified message is we're trying to bring forward at TPAC. So suggestion is let's next week, 20 minutes, let's at least get that on the agenda and plan.
Okay.
I'm all for that. And while I still have the queue, just we've kind of lost sight of Crypto Tuesdays being first Tuesday. So I would also like to set our sights on that for next month, if that's possible.
Yeah.
Lionel.
Oh, that was Lionel. Yeah, the challenge with the Crypto Tuesdays is we've not really had the cryptographers scheduling. So I try to do at least one a month, and it's been difficult. But hopefully that'll be improving. The other thing is that seems to be regular is maybe trying to figure out how to have report outs from groups like BIF and other things. So we have to coordinate some intellectual property legality so that we can have some of these other groups be able to report out as well. Anything else before we go to work items?
Sam's on the queue.
Sam, go ahead.
I was just wondering, for people who aren't going for TPAC, I got the email, I just wanted to help more, and I'm wondering if there's like, is it helpful for me to like get sort of reach out to all of the other companies I know that I think will be using VIDs or at least have shown interest in them and just get a list of those going for you guys? Like,
I think that would be useful. I mean, there certainly is a number of people have said that they're going to do decentralized identifiers or verifiable claims, but have never been to a CCG meeting or have been to a rebooting. So it'd be great to figure out who all of those are. Manu, go ahead.
Yes, that would be super helpful. Yes, we need help doing that. We need to be fairly targeted in who those companies are. So the reason that survey went out is that we have to prove to the W3C membership, which is around 400 member companies, that this work is worth doing. And they tend to have a very specific set of organizations that they find more important than other organizations. So they find that companies that are actually implementing and deploying products are more important than the companies that are just researching it and might use it in the future. So they tend to weight those companies much more heavily. They tend to weight big companies, like if Microsoft and Google say they want to do this work, they get quite a bit of consideration versus a tiny company doing it. The purpose of the survey is to collect a big list of companies. So just by asking a company, hey, you know, not do you have plans to use decentralized identifiers, but are you going to use decentralized identifiers? If there's a strong commitment, those are the companies that we want to fill out that survey. So you know, I don't know if we're going to have more time to kind of talk about the survey later on in the call. I hope we do. But this is data that we need to collect very quickly because I need to circulate at least some preliminary findings 2 weeks before TPAC, which is basically next week, right, at the end of next week. So Sam, if you and anybody else on the call target the larger companies. So, for example, let's ask Civic to fill stuff out. I think Consensus already did, you know, and avoid the smaller companies that have like 2 to 3 employees, unless their whole thing is we're doing decentralized identifiers. Like for example, like Dominode would be a good company to put down there because they're building products on top of decentralized identifiers. Hopefully that provides enough guidance.
And people that aren't necessarily like involved in ID right away, but like I was thinking like Hootsuite and different people that are big, have lots of users, but aren't necessarily related to identity right now.
As long as they say we are not just like kind of interested, they have to be committed. Because, you know, here's W3C's driving thing, right? Management, they want to see more members. So are you going to spend the $2,000 to $8,000 to $25,000 a year to be a W3C member? If you are, that demonstrates more of a commitment than a company like, you know, saying that, yeah, we're interested in using it after it's done. W3C wants to see their membership numbers go up as a result of this work.
What is the URL?
I will find it. So here's an explainer for support for DIDs. So that's there, and in there, the Google form specific Google form is here. And again, this is going to go kind of counter to what I just said, but if you can circulate it among your readership, if you have Twitter or a blog or you know, LinkedIn or whatever, and just, you know, ask for, you know, if your company is building DID products or plans to build DID-based products, please fill out this survey. We need your support. That would also help quite a bit.
Thank you very much. So we the credentials. Chairs, we'll make sure we have time. Credentials community, we'll make sure we have time on for this. What I wanted to ask, Manny, was how much more time today?
Let's queue up Heather, and then I'll go after her.
Okay, Heather, go ahead.
Yeah, in my experience, I think the best way to, so I've been promoting this link of the last, I guess, 24 hours, but I know that there's a bunch of people at companies that are friendlier in the community that we already have, and really, it's really effective to send a direct email to someone, like, if you know someone, the person who's doing it at, like, IBM, or the person who's doing it at whatever, directly emailing them is a great way to ask them to do the survey. The other thing is are we coordinating with DIF at all? DIF has a lot of members. It might make sense for DIF to contact those folks. Also directly, I know I already put some stuff on the Slack channel. And it's good to keep putting it out there publicly because it reminds people that they should do it. But it's also really effective to directly email people.
Yep, absolutely. Totally agree with that. And that's what I was hoping we'd be able to kind of talk about on the call today. Christopher, as far as extra time is concerned, maybe give it another, 10 minutes later on in the call, or we can do 10 minutes now. So, I just wanted to kind of underscore what Heather said. Direct emails to companies that we know have plans for DIDs would be the most effective. I did send an email to DIF management about this and asked them to circulate it. I don't know if that's happened yet. So for those of you that are in DIF, please look out for that. And if you don't see something by Wednesday, Thursday, please ping inside DIF because there are a lot of people there that are the types of companies we want to get on the survey. The last thing, of course, is that I want to apologize for the short nature of this. Like, this is super last minute and just like not the way we want to do things, but we just quite literally ran out of time. This is something that we should have done back in June or July, and it just never happened. And now we're to the point where if we don't get it out next week, it's just not going to get circulated. So that's why there's this immediate rush to get this done. I'm hoping that we get all the first wave of feedback by next Sunday, and that gives us some data to go into W3C with. Make it clear to people that if they don't get it filled out by Sunday, so they're some don't have big companies and they have to go through legal and all that kind of stuff, that's okay. Just get it done ASAP. Hopefully that made sense.
Okay. I would prefer to, since the rest of the agenda is a little less critical and it was last minute to start off with, that we go ahead and if we need more time to talk about this, we do it now. Does anybody have any questions on how to evangelize or Ryan, go ahead.
So, if is out there, Decentralized Identity Foundation. Sometimes I get a little confused about where companies are putting their energy on these things. Is there a way to think about these things fitting together, or do they not fit together?
Christopher, you're on mute if you're talking.
Well, I'm actually trying to figure out how to answer the question. DIF is its own organization at this point. They have said that they would like to figure out how to coordinate better with the W3C. There was a particular IP issue that was raised at rebooting that hopefully we can get a legal opinion on. Who else is a member of DIF currently that would like to speak about it?
So I'm on the queue. I'm not a member of DIF, but I did have a series of discussions with them over this last rebooting. And I think that there is a general strategy that works for everyone. They do, as Kalia said in IRC, they do fit together in kind of a roundabout way, and we're trying to clarify where one organization stops and the other begins. But for now, all incubation of ideas and pre-spec things, that happens around IIW, European Identity Work, Conference, Rebooting Web of Trust, and events like that. The output from that group goes into community groups like this one, where we refine implementations, technology, specifications to get them ready to go into the W3C standardization process. DIF works across all of those channels, but does not assert any kind of specific way of doing things that early in the process. The standards that we work on are standardized at W3C and IETF, and then they go out into the wild, and then DIFF in the future may provide things like not validation suites, but like whether or not you're actually conforming to the standard, best practices that they're seeing being used out in the wild, and they kind of do the industry, you know, after the, during and after, specifically after the standard's baked, how are people deploying this stuff in the world and in industry in general. I don't know if that helps, Ryan, but that's the current understanding that I have personally. We still need to get the organizations to kind of express that more publicly.
I mean, the other way I've heard them express is that they want to be a little bit like the Linux Foundation, which is, you know, focused on supporting of code bases, as opposed to being a standards organization, which is focused on specifications. So, you know, again, I'm not a member of VIF, but that's what I've heard from them. Any other questions or thoughts in regards to this survey? Support for DID survey. I mean, I know, you know, of the people that I'm working with, I'm going to be, you know, trying to get HTC to give support for this, you know, as a big cell phone company. I'm a little worried about the legal side of it because it's taken me months to get some legal things done with them in the past.
That's the queue's empty. Go ahead. Just to make a little note of that, let the large companies know that this is not a commitment of any kind, even though it kind of sort of looks like it. It's more of a notice of interest. But sometimes some companies don't even want to do that, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not that they're committing to the working group, they're not committing intellectual property, they're not committing to do products, they're just letting us know that they are very interested, and there's a question in there that says, would you join W3C if we started this group? That's all we want to know at this point.
I'm not seeing anybody in the queue. Manu, last call, other subtopics?
Nope.
Okay. So we're going to move on quickly to review the action items. For some reason, that link didn't work. I think it's got an extra quote or something in it. What in the heck is going on here? Well, the issues are here. Sorry.
I think I got it.
Figure out what's wrong with that link. Ah, okay. Thank you. So, at the bottom on the SpecText training, I think there is still some open item, which was Andrew. Are you here today? I think he was going to be posting some documentation from the SpecText training. There's a series of updates to the RSA signature suite. There is one, Manu, has any ETA on those?
No, not yet, unfortunately. I think we're waiting for the video to be cleaned up. That's it. And the raw video has been uploaded. We're just waiting for the video to be cleaned up.
Okay, so we just talked about the DID preparation, and we'll be continuing to. There's a security vulnerability, and we keep on getting notices for on the spec text. we'll move forward on that. I don't have a assignee to the JWK CryptoSuite specification. Who was kind of leading that, or what, you know, that was also discussed at rebooting?
That would be UPort. So is Oliver on the call?
Do we have anybody from UPort Consensus?
I see
here
Dan Burnett
today.
And if not, then Mike Jones.
Yeah, so Oliver, I know why Oliver's not on the call. I did, as TREP added him to both groups, especially both CG and BCWG. It's possible that he just didn't realize that the call happened right now.
Okay. So I guess the question, though, is there a person from UPort that you know of that is writing up the JWK crypto suite enough or responsible enough that we can go ahead and assign that action item to?
I cannot volunteer someone for UPort,
okay.
But I know that Oliver has been accepting such responsibilities very rapidly on behalf of UPort. So the right thing to do is probably to email him directly and him.
Sorry, who is that?
Okay. This is Dan Burnett.
Oh. Dan was speaking. Okay. Creating a mirror as a repo is Andrew's. Scribe training. Is that closed now, Kim, or is there more going on there? Kim here. Okay, so that's it for the issues right now. If anybody has an open issue, you're feel free to add them to this list. Next on our agenda is the work items. Our goal with this section of our meeting is, are there any updates on work items that are in progress? Does anybody have a new release or a new ETA, or have a question for the group related to one of the work items?
Go ahead, Lionel.
So we finally finished the data minimization paper a while back, and then there was a few disruptions because of the rebooting meeting and such. So Joe had mentioned perhaps making it a report, so I was just wondering if that's moving forward.
Yeah, let me speak to that a little bit. So the original version of this document will be published as a final document for the rebooting Web of Trust, but it's sort of already been approved to sort of move on track to the community group to accept as a report. I would like to get a couple of sort of the more cryptographic-oriented people from the community to make sure that it's been reviewed. In particular, there was somebody from Microsoft who said they might want to give it a quick pass and such. But you know, as far as I can know, it can hopefully be a report in the next month or so if the community group approves it. We just have to get that draft.
So I'll just keep
cleaning that up, the draft. We have to get the final.
So bring the readers. I guess I'll just lurk on the Git, and comments will be put as pull requests, or I mean, how will it be handled?
I think that's probably the best way.
All right.
I mean, the other way we could do it is we could go ahead and move it as a as an unpublished draft in the CCG repo, and start based on the final rebooting one, and start accepting things there. I mean, the basic difference is, you know, in rebooting Web of Trust, you know, the final, you know, authority on edits and such is the, you know, the lead, whereas the CCG has a little bit more consent and notice to everybody than rebooting does. So, that help?
Yeah, sounds good. I think it's what we want. We want consensus. We want to keep going with getting consensus around this usage of those terms. It all sounds good.
Okay, great. Okay, any other items on the work items, updates, schedules, questions?
I do have a quick one. I'm on the queue.
Okay.
So at this last rebooting, Mike Lauder and Nathan George and I were able to kind of get together and talk about the CL proof stuff. The good news there is that Mike has raised an issue on the VC data model that this group is probably going to actually have to partially address. So here's the CL signature issue on VC data model. There's the link to the issue where they basically say these are the data structures we're using for CL signatures. So that's awesome. But that means that we're going to have to create a new crypto suite that covers those things. And the only place that work can really happen is in this community group. So I don't know when I'm going to have the time to do it. And it would be fantastic if somebody else that cares deeply about the CL signature stuff does it instead of me. But we need to put together a CryptoSuite document to express CL signatures. And once we do that, then we'll know whether or not we can do, whether or not CL signatures, the zero knowledge proof stuff, is compatible with the verifiable credentials data model. At a high level, it's looking like it is, but you don't really know until you work through the details. So
right.
There's just a notification to the group that that might become a work item here, and the other one is just a plea for somebody with good crypto knowledge around ZKPs and CL signatures to write that spec instead of me.
Right. I'm going to put on my member hat on for a moment. So I also spoke with several people at Microsoft about UProve, which is one of the major alternatives to the CL signatures, to basically say that as much as possible, the community group, W3C, the ITF, et cetera, wish these desire for these standards to be vendor independent, and that we need someone from the the Microsoft community who, you know, has been working with the UProve blinding things to make sure that there's nothing that sort of locks people too much into, one approach, a single approach to cryptographic selective disclosure. UProve being the major other one, which is under some Microsoft patents that are supposed to be available to the public, they need to speak up. I will be continuing to, try to make sure that we have vendor independence. That's it for me. Let's see. Yes. Okay, so that closes the work item discussions. Now we move on to new business. We had an excellent event, collaborative event at Rebooting. So before the meeting, there were a whole bunch of topics and advanced readings that some people might find interesting to read through, but more for our discussion was that there were 15 draft documents that were written collaboratively. and those are at the draft documents. In particular, of the draft documents, there was some discussion around guidance and standards for interoperability of the centralized identity systems, which is this one. This is the draft. So there was a group of about 15 people at one time or another that worked on, issues of the, different approaches to DIDs, et cetera. Do you want to give us a little short summary of kind of the results of that meeting, of that discussion?
Sure. Actually, let me try and find the link to the Google Doc, because that's where all the kind of work is happening right now.
I have it. It's here.
Well, it requires a Cloud Compass. That's old. So that's the Markdown one. Here's the one. Hold on. I just want to point people to the Google Doc because I'm going to ask for help shortly on editing that paper. It's a massive paper, or it's going to end up becoming a massive paper, which is great because it we've never actually written down kind of the guiding principles and requirements from this community. And as this is an attempt to do that, it's very, very rough right now. But I think it was good. We got to kind of go over a ton of guiding principles. The hope is that this is going to document the guiding principles and requirements, and then the standards that apply that actually achieve those requirements. Meaning, like, these are all the standards that we know of today that we can apply to the problem, and these are the ones. These are the gaps. These are the standards that we need to fill in to achieve the vision, that we have in rebooting and the credential CG, and IIW and all those things. So we have a good start. I did want to point out that Dave Longley, I volunteered you for one of the items in there. It's key representations, so some discussion there, signature encryption representations. But this is basically a general call for help. Like, if any of you feel like you have something to contribute or something to say in this document, please jump in and in suggest mode, start editing, because we need all the help that we can get. One of the challenges here is it's such a long paper that there's a high likelihood that it's going to die before we get it done. Since it'll benefit this community, the hope is that we'll continue to kind of hack away at it until it's done, hopefully over the next month and a half. Is that what you're looking for, Christopher?
So other interesting papers at submitted for draft. I liked the digital identity for homeless and the DAD paper, which I'm trying to find where it is. Convincing DAD. So convincing DAD is this one. And the homeless one is this one. So I thought in particular that, as we're talking about use cases and things of that nature, I know that, the W3C and when we pick use cases for pitching DIDs, which we've already begun doing, and we have 15 some odd to choose from. Some of these ones that were listed in DADs and in the homeless one might also be relevant for, discussion. At least for how we pitch them and how we discuss them. So people might find those interesting. Is there anybody else here that participated in one of the collaborations that would like to speak a little bit about your paper? Kim? Sam, go ahead.
Our paper was on verifiable offline credentials, and at first there was, you know, maybe a little bit of skepticism about just how much these would be needed or used, and we actually found a massive lack of security in container ships, and were able to put together some really interesting solutions. And I took just sort of the preliminary findings to Seaspan, which is the largest container ship company in the world, and we're going to explore possibly doing some sort of hackathon or something with that. So I'd like to chat with you guys more. Sorry, my dog. Actually, but ideally, we can do something specific to ship security and identity sometime in the new year. That was what my name is.
Great, thank you. Other kind of interesting starts, you know, all of these are drafts. So, you know, a number of them will be, you know, massively changed before they go final. There was a bit of discussion about what are the requirements for credential wallets, and there were some interesting discussions there. The a lot of discussion about using DIDs for DIDs for more than just people, so that was there. Manu, go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about one of the demos. So there was a key recovery using like navigating a path in a video game thing. So two of the really interesting things I think that came out of this rebooting was the offline crypto thing that Sam just mentioned, and then the you know, how to remember or how to encrypt or remember your, you know, recovery key using navigation. So those, like those two things both ended up with kind of like apps that demonstrated the concept at the end of it. And I think a lot of people found them like really compelling. You know, when you see how you can just seeing somebody walk through an environment and pick things to remember something versus having to remember a big long, you know, stream of random characters. It was convincing, you know, convincing of what I don't know. You know, there's a next step there on how we apply that to like key recovery. But there were two really neat tools that were immediately understandable to people that didn't really have a deep background in the cryptography. So I thought that was neat.
Thank you.
Yeah, the other, just from my group, I wanted to give a shout out. There's for the offline cryptography. Michael had taught us how to do off, basically encrypt a message using a 6x6 matrix of squares with numbers on them. And actually, in that same few days, Wolf, another gentleman in my group, made it into an app that will teach you the muscle memory of encrypting, not that you'd use the app to encrypt it, but that teaches you how to encrypt messages easily, and you can do it over and over again so that you could do it with anything like a deck of cards. So I'd be interested to see if that would be something that it would be really cool if maybe the first app was kind of pushed out of rebooting that started to just make it really accessible for anybody to learn about encryption. Because I certainly never thought in a million years I'd know anything about it, and I loved it, so.
Yeah, and it's actually reasonably strong. It's about 136 bits as compared to AES, which is 128. Joe, you're next in the queue.
Okay, great. So I just want to talk a little bit about the five mental models paper, which started as my submission and went in some interesting directions. In particular, we had some corrections to and renaming of what we called the security mental model to the continuity mental model. And so that's, and then we also started breaking down the different intersections between each of the mental models, both to help illustrate what do we really mean by these mental models, and because that's where interesting things starts to happen, where someone with a security or a continuity mental model talks to someone with a data mental model. They tend to talk about the same things. And then I also wanted to queue up, it also triggered a conversation with Nathan George about the topology of identity, where you have one actor, two actors, three actors, and more, and actually fit that into kind of an interesting framework that I look forward to working with him later to put something together.
Thank you, Joe. Sam, was that a duplicate queue entry for you?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. Kim, go ahead.
Yeah, first I wanted to see, since I joined so late, I'm not sure if Ganesh talked about resource integrity proofs yet.
No, go ahead.
Okay, so I'll just give a quick summary. So I got involved with that. So resource integrity proofs, it was Ganesh's paper. Going into that rebooting, my main interest was what I was calling verifiable displays, which I've been working on with Bowden for a while. And so, Bowden, I apologize. It was a hectic week. I haven't even gotten back on any of this. But we realized that the problems we were trying to solve with verifiable displays is just a special case of the resource integrity proofs. And resource integrity proofs is approaching it, it's not sort of focused on displays, but it's sort of maybe an atom that can be used as part of things like verifiable displays or others. And so what we did was, so resource integrity proofs, it's solving the general problem of when you have linked data and the link might point to data that's in a mutable store, how do you find out if the data has been changed out from under you. So it's about, allowing tamper detection, which is really the problem that I wanted to solve through verifiable displays, which is, if in your credential you link to some human readable display, how does that person know that it's the display that was intended, say, at issuance time? So what we did was we merged efforts into, a bigger resource integrity proofs paper, we included some use cases, including verifiable displays and a few other things. So we're pretty, after a little break, I think we'll want to review, but we consider ourselves mostly done. So if anyone wants to check out that paper and give feedback, let us know. The other sort of what I think of as what will be, none of you know this yet except for Dan, Heather, and the two Dan Burnett, Pape, and Heather and myself, I think we had a real breakthrough. So anyone that knows me knows that I get really irritated when people say mom as their example of canonical dumb user. And so it went through a long process, but what we landed at is a new persona, basically, sort of in marketing speak, that is, it's a person who's really comfortable with using web technologies. And I think that the role that we're kind of targeting is, in fact, this is a very technical, VP marketing at a startup. She knows how to, script and things like that. But basically, the idea is it merges in the statement that I heard from the very first rebooting, which is that if our canonical user's name is Marina, so if Marina ever sees a did, then we failed. So the goal is she's different from Amira. Amira is pushing some use cases of self-sovereign identity. Marina is pushing these other boundaries where, she's used to using these technologies, web technologies, very successfully, but she suffers from the problems that are caused by honeypots of data, say, reputation being tied to certain social media platforms. But so it allows us to say, instead of moms or, whatever term, we'll be able to say Marina, who is associated, like this, an intelligent user, and she's who we want to enable to be successful, you know, usability not impacted, and only, you know, can benefit from self-sovereign technologies. So that just came in probably the last day. A lot of weird collaboration. Thank you very much, Dan Burnett, for working through it with us. And so, but I'm very excited about it, and so that will be coming in the draft pretty soon.
Yeah, you definitely should pass that also on to the convincing DAB folks from the vantage point that they don't have a name for their persona, which sounds like it's related to that. So, okay. Does anybody have any last, we have 2 minutes, comments from rebooting that they don't like? So it was a great event. Thank you, everybody who participated, and will continue to participate in these in the future. There is IIW coming up at the end of the month. If you're not going to be in Lyon with us, and they have, you know, can continue some of these types of discussions and can, you know, move things forward. So. So I'm going to go ahead and call the meeting closed for today. Being I'm not seeing anybody else adding to queue. Thank you very much, and talk with you next week.
Thanks, all. Bye.